We'll look ahead to the future of the Republican Party. Back in 2012, Republicans lost the White House to a president whose approval rating had fallen from 67% when he was elected to 40% towards the end of his first term.
Some within the Republican Party began to worry that their candidates may not be speaking the language of most American voters, maybe focusing too much on hot-button items and less on issues relevant to the middle class.
Today, a group of prominent conservative thinkers released a new guide on policies aimed at middle-class voters. It is called Room to Grow: Conservative Reforms for a Limited Government and a Thriving Middle Class. An author of one of the essays in the guide, Ramesh Panuru, is here with us now. He is a senior editor of National Review, a columnist for Bloomberg View, and a visiting fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
I want to start out with the need for this particular set of policies, this new guide. What was it that you and the other folks who took part in writing this thought, what void needed to be filled?
Well, there are, two different voids. One is a policy void, where a lot of us who contributed to the book and some other folks who we talked to were of the view that both parties' agendas are not really responsive to the challenges of this moment. That in a way, as one of my fellow contributors, Yuval Levin, put it, the Democrats are sort of always stuck in 1965, and the Republicans are always stuck in 1981. We needed an agenda that spoke to today's circumstances. And then on the political side, the void is that conservatives in recent years in particular have not had all that much to say about how our agenda would help most people in tangible ways and help them improve their lives. And so those are the two voids that we set out to address.
Well, let's start with the policy void first. You told the New York Times that building a post-Obama conservatism is more important than trying to still beat Obama. First of all, what do you mean by that? And what do you want to see as some of those conservative priorities? What do you want to see coming out of that discussion?
Sure. There has been a tendency among conservatives, and I think you saw this most starkly during the battles over the government shutdown and the debt ceiling last year, to think of politics as a set of confrontations between congressional Republicans and President Obama, where the goal was to have these confrontations, if necessary, sort of stage them and win and break his will. And this is what politics is fundamentally about. And it seems to me that that's just the wrong way to think about it. For one thing, you sort of can't do it. That's not the way presidential parties and congressional parties typically interact. And second, you know, I think it's more important to set out a governing agenda and build, a post-Obama conservatism. As for what I think the priority should be, the particular focus we have is on domestic policy. And I think that where conservatives have a real opportunity to contribute to the discussion is on cost of living issues, where if you drill down on the sort of concerns that most people have about the American dream, a lot of them end up being related to the cost of energy, the cost of raising children, the cost of health care, the cost of higher education. So these basic family costs are all places where I think conservative reforms could address those issues and make people's dollars stretch further. And they're places where you've got a bunch of, I think, dysfunctional federal and state policies that could really benefit from the application of conservative insights.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, because a lot of times when people think about Republican policies, and particularly in terms of economics in the middle class, there's sort of this knee-jerk reaction that what it does really is allow wealthy people and corporations to capitalize on their wealth kind of at the expense of a stable middle class. And it sounds like this is that because you're hearing that, or you're just seeing that discussion isn't going anywhere?
I'm sorry, I missed that last bit. Some sort of phone connection. Say that again, please.
Sure. I was saying you bring up that whole idea of the economics of the middle class and making some of these priorities domestic priorities. But at the same time, the criticism we hear of a lot of Republican economic policies is that it focuses
right.
on the wealthy.
Right. I catch that part, but it's sort of pro-rich, pro-big business.
Right.
Well, that is a very long-standing public perception about the Republican Party. You can go back to just about the beginning of modern polling, like 1955, you will find that the Republican Party is associated with big business. But I think that it has been a problem for the Republican Party that is of long standing and has helped to account for a lot of its weakness through the decades, but it's gotten worse in recent years because it has become a little bit, you know, people thought of it as a pro-big business party, but they also thought it had something to offer other people on the economy, and it has become in recent years, I think, a little exclusively associated with rich people and big business.
And the second part of your issues here, you refer to the what you call the political side of some of the discussions, the debates that we've been hearing lately. And I was reminded when I was reading this of a political cartoon I saw a week or two ago. And there were a whole bunch of issues in the background of the cartoon. And in the front was a GOP person. And they're saying, Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Is that the sort of thing that you're referring to, that you start talking about serious issues and they sort of get, I don't know if hijack's the right term, but these other issues come up that aren't really relevant to some of those?
Well, you know, look, I think successful political parties need to be able to talk about multiple subjects simultaneously. And so it's not, for me, a question of don't talk about these other issues. It's you've got to have this basic bread and butter agenda or people aren't going to listen to what you have to say about these other issues.
Is it too late for that? You know, I mean, because we've got a lot of polarization now. Are people ready for something, whether you call it bread or butter or more moderate or more realistic or however you phrase it? Are people going to pay attention to that?
I think so. You know, look, I think that people are pretty fair-minded in general. Not everybody, of course. And that, you know, look, if one of the presidential nominees in 2016 has a fresh conservative message, I think people will be willing to give it a hearing. You know, not everybody, not diehard liberals, but certainly I think the people in the middle whose loyalties are up for grabs.
And lastly, in the last minute or so, how do you hope that Republican candidates in the upcoming elections will take a look at this guide and do something with it? What do you want to see this used for?
I would like to see all kinds of candidates, and I think primarily it would be Republicans who'd be interested in the ideas, but it would be great if Democrats were too, were to take up some of these ideas on health care, on higher education, on a pro-family tax reform. And I would say particularly for the Republicans running for Congress, you know, the temptation is just going to be to run on an anti-Obama, anti-Obamacare message. But I think if you want to build a new governing majority that can actually make policy a policy difference, you've got to start building that case now and laying out some ideas.
Well, Ramesh, thank you so much for joining us.
You are welcome.
We've been speaking with Ramesh Panuru. He is senior editor of National Review, a columnist for Bloomberg View, and a visiting fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He contributed to a new policy guide released today by prominent conservatives aimed at tackling middle class issues.
And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think are the most important policies to support the middle class on education, taxes, jobs, and health care?
Absolutely. This new guide is aimed at attracting middle-class voters. What sort of proposals are needed?
800-642-1234. We're taking your calls next. 800-642-1234. This is Central Time. We're taking your calls right now as we continue our discussion about policies aimed at helping the middle class. You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Taking your calls on what policies you think are needed to help the middle class. And we just heard from a guest talking about a new conservative manifesto, as they're calling it, aimed at bringing some of those policies to the forefront. What would you like to see? Call us now.
800-642-1234. We just heard from Manesh Panuru, who said that they're going to be voters who are open to new ideas in the coming election and the coming years. Some voters who are in the middle. And do you think that? Do you think there are voters who are up for grabs in the upcoming midterm and presidential elections? Our guest also said that both parties, Democrats and Republicans, the agendas of both parties right now are not being responsive to the middle class. And what kind of policies do you see as being responsive to the middle class from a conservative viewpoint? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can also post to the Central Time Facebook page.
Is there anybody out there right now who you think is speaking to the middle class, or do you think that some of the other political big-ticket items right now, we've been hearing about immigration reform for a long time, Benghazi for a long time, as you were hearing about, some of the marquee items in political news have not been about the middle class. What would you like to see brought to the table for discussion? Our number, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You are our guest right now, and we'd love to hear what you have to say.
And this is all being talked about in the context today of a group of prominent conservatives releasing what they call a policy guide, about a 120-page policy guide, as I understand it, aimed at addressing some of those issues. It's called Room to Grow, Conservative Reforms for a Limited Government and a Thriving Middle Class. 800-642-1234.
Does the Republican Party, do you think the Republican Party have the potential to speak at this moment to the middle class, to articulate some of the malaise that the middle class may be feeling, and to create policies around it, to bring them back on board for conservatives? 800-642-1234. We're going to go first to Greg in Montchez. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. A couple of the things that I have problems with the conservative viewpoint and come down to the reluctance to engage in anything around campaign finance reform, even though I know a great deal of a great many of conservatives who are really sick of all the money in our political life these days. And the other thing is the conservative issues on environmental issues. There just doesn't seem to be any sensitivity to environmental causes, and chiefly among them, of course, is climate change. And I think that there's a lot of good reasons for their reluctance. A lot of it has to do with money in a big campaign to basically combat the science.
Greg, thanks so much for that call. We appreciate that. And so argument there that what Republicans could do is focus on campaign finance reform and take a closer look at some environmental issues. Also heard from Roxanne in Madison, who sent us an email, who said, I'd like to see a candidate with a solid plan to help lower costs for higher education. Student debt is crippling the middle class and needs to be addressed. And I know today in that conservative manifesto, as they are calling it, that taking a look at education is one of the items that they are taking a look at in terms of trying to address middle class issues. Let's go to Sean now, and Sean joins us from Kenosha. Hi, Sean.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to talk about unions. You know, I've benefited from union labor for the last 8 years, and it seems like it's been a strong Republican agenda to squash them. And, you know, if we really want to help the middle class, I would suggest unions as a path towards that.
Okay. Do you realistically see, I have not read this policy guide. Do you believe that is something that it could actually wind up on their agenda somewhere? All right. Well, we'll move on then. It looks like as though we may have lost Sean. Let's go to Wendell, who joins us from Marinette. Hi, Wendell.
Hi. I'd just like to mention that I think one of the policies that I'm not sure the conservatives are going to ever get is that the government needs to provide things for their people. And one of the things the middle class needs are transportation options. We in Wisconsin are really suffering because we have politicians that have done everything possible to thwart the development and the expansion of the Amtrak program. And starting with the governor originally turning back $810 million, that would have helped Wisconsinites, and this is not helping the middle class at all. So, you know, this report may sound nice and it may be attractive to have people take a look at them, but the bottom line is that the conservatives have to figure out that there is a role for government in a population that's over 310 million people in our country, and they need to get on board with the collectiveness of a community of citizens and not just people out for themselves individually.
Very good. Thank you for that call, Wendell. And Ray joins us now from Stevens Point.
Yeah, I think a conservative step to help the middle class would be to raise the minimum wage. Rather than finding more ways to give people handouts, if someone's willing to show up, work hard, work a job, I'd rather see them make more than $7.25 an hour and be less dependent on the government.
Ray, thanks so much for that call. And let's go to Wausau now. And Matt is with us from Wausau.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. What I'd like to say is the Republican manifesto or whatever it is, what they need to do is not only say they have a message, they need to do some legislation that actually gets voters on their side. And we haven't seen that. If you want women to vote for you, put up forward some legislation that helps them. And that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thanks so much for that call. We're talking about policies that conservatives might use to attract more middle-class voters. And we're doing it in the context of an interview we just did with one of the authors of what they're calling a conservative manifesto, the idea being that conservatives are not doing enough to attract middle-class voters. What sorts of policies would you propose that conservatives take a look at if they want to attract middle-class voters? 800-642-1234. Taj is with us from Toma. Hi, Taj.
Hello. Yeah, I'd like to talk about the relationship, you know, the government and the big banks. You know, going back to the bailouts, you know, and all the foreclosures, you know, you have a real problem there.
A policy proposal that conservatives could use to address that?
I certainly do. You often hear from a conservative standpoint that, you know, capitalism is good. It let the businesses fail on their own. Well, then why not let these big banks fail if they're going to? Why does the government need to get involved with that?
All right, Taj, thanks so much for the call. And thanks to all of you for all of your calls. We've been talking about policies that you think will help the middle class, specifically policies that might be proposed by conservatives. And we do it in light of a group of prominent conservatives released a new policy guide today aimed at addressing middle class issues after some within the party expressed concern about attracting middle class voters.